So this morning I'm going to share on something that I've never shared just specifically on, and that is on baptism. And so I'd like you to turn to Acts 8. We've read this passage before, but I want to just focus on something here. And so it's a passage that we've heard about, this Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip was sent by the Lord to catch up to this guy. And it says here, I'll start in verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So we clearly see that Philip had an open invitation to share the good news, to share the gospel with this Ethiopian eunuch. He preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So think about this. He's just sitting beside Philip, and Philip is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And what did the eunuch say? Here's water. What stops me from being baptized? In other words, the preaching of Jesus Christ must have included a discussion on water baptism. That's why it naturally led. There's water. What stops me? I'm hearing everything you're sharing, this good news of Jesus Christ. Part of it must have included water baptism. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him. And so a foundational piece to the good news of Jesus Christ, to the gospel that saves us, is this preaching of water baptism. It's part of the gospel. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put forth today that it's a foundational beginning to our walk with Christ. It's a foundational beginning. How long had he believed the good news? He was reading about this lamb, this sheep that was led to the slaughter, but you know who it was. It was like, boom, within the day, for sure, probably within a few hours. I believe that. The natural conclusion, based on what I've heard Philip preaching, is that I go and get baptized. So that's kind of the premise that I'm putting forth this morning, is that if we believe, genuinely believe, we should be baptized. Okay, and I think Scripture backs that up. The second passage, it says something here. Acts 2:38. There's a verse here. Familiar verse, and it says, Peter said to these people, they're saying, what should we do, right? We want to be saved. What should we do, right? We've realized we've sinned. We've done some wrong things here. What should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting because Peter says you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to touch on both of those. First of all, repentance is foundational with the gospel. What does it mean to repent? Hopefully you're answering that in your mind. What does it mean to repent? Repent means a change of mind, a change of mind toward God. So we're turning away from something to something else. We haven't done anything yet, but in our mind, we're turning away from something. What are we turning away from? We should be turning away from sin, from our self life, right? From living for ourself, right? Before we repent, we get up in the morning and say, what do I want to do today? Once we repent, what do? We get up in the morning and say, Lord, what is your will for me this day? That's repentance. And so we haven't actually walked it all out yet, but we repent. It starts in our mind. Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. Lord, I want to turn away from this, and I want to turn toward you. And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, which is different than what Jesus said. He said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is it really different, or is it the same? And I'm going to put forth that it's simply the same thing, but Peter is making it very clear, because baptism occurred in other religious activities as well, besides that of the true God. And he wanted to make it clear, it wasn't just any son, but it's the Son of Jesus Christ. That's the Son of God. And so he wanted to make it really clear. So yes, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there needs to be some repentance. Now I realize that for some, we grew up in a Christian home. That repentance is going to maybe look a little bit different, but it's still at the root the same. I don't want to please myself. I want to please God. Just like Tim said, some people's sins are very outward, right? Someone who's 6 and repents is going to look different than someone who's 36 and has lived years for themselves in the world. It's going to look a little bit different, the outward actions of what sin might is. But yet the root of the heart is the same. Am I seeking to please myself? Am I keeping all the donuts for me? Or do I want to turn away from selfishness? And I want to, Lord, change my heart. I want to please you. I want to share with others. Really simple when you're 6. And you know what? It's the same thing. It just looks, our sin becomes more manifest, more gross, essentially, in the eyes of men. But the heart is what needs the change of heart, okay? The next passage I wanted to look at is a really good example of, it's in 1 Thessalonians 1. It's a really good example of what repentance looks like for some people. Here was an example. I'm going to start in verse 9 and 10. So Paul wrote this. He says, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. But there is repentance. What did they do? They turned away from their idols, the things they were serving, to God. That's a great example of repentance. For those people, they turned away from something to something else. So I have a question. What is your purpose for living every day? Before we come to Christ, it's not to do his will. Whatever that is, right? Some of those things are very lawful, but let the driving, motivating factor be changed. Lord, it's not about trying to get more for me and live for myself and to please myself. But Lord, I want to repent and turn away and say, Lord, what is your will for me? I want to seek to please you. That's repentance, is turning away, okay? I also want to look here at an example here. Turn to Matthew 3. And there's a phrase here that's used. John the Baptist is sharing here, but Jesus uses the same phrase in chapter 4. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3, verse 2. This is John the Baptist speaking. Right? Repent. Verse 5, it says, then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to John the Baptist and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. They're acknowledging the things I was doing, the things I was seeking after were wrong. I'm turning away. It's part of repentance. They're confessing their sin. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." And that verse is an interesting one. And I'd love for someone else to read it. I have New King James, and I don't think it actually does a very good job of it. Does anyone have New American Standard or New Living, one of those versions? They could read it out loud for us. Verse 8. Bear fruit, let your actions line up with what repentance is. So if you've turned away, you've turned your mind away from your old life to God, your fruit, your actions should now line up. They should bear witness to that. It should be a change of action. Laurel, you said you had New Living. Can you read that one? 3:8. Bear fruit worthy repentance, right? Prove by the way you live that you have turned toward God. So there's going to be, after genuine repentance, genuine change of mind, there is going to be actions that will prove that. But the repentance starts in the mind, but the actions are going to follow. Here is in the Amplified Version. It says, "So produce fruit that is consistent with repentance, demonstrating a new behavior that proves a change of heart and a conscious decision to turn away from sin." See, genuine repentance is going to lead to a change in how we live our lives. We're not living for ourselves. Man, I really want to keep all of this for myself. Man, I'm tempted still, but I want to please God. Okay, I'm going to start to share. That's a simple example, right? Okay. Next passage I wanted to look at, Matthew 28. Great Commission. I've already quoted part of it. It says something here. 28, and I'll go to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, yeah, only 11. Remember one? Judas didn't make it. He went and pleased himself. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the age." So here he is. He's ready to essentially ascend. He's got 11 faithful disciples, and there's others we know for sure, but specifically these 11, he gave them this great commission, which applies to all disciples. But the first part was, go and make disciples. And what's the first thing you do with your disciples? Baptize them. This isn't something we save to when we're 40 or 50. This is something we do after we repent and be baptized, right? It doesn't give a specific age. There can be genuine faith and genuine believing in very young children's hearts. I'm not sure I would say that we should baptize them when they're super young, but the scripture doesn't say that. I think there should be some level of maturity and understanding more understanding of what they're doing. But I'm going beyond scripture when I say that, and I'll acknowledge that. Okay? But if you're like an adult, you're well beyond that age of understanding what's going on. If you're a young adult, you're beyond that age. It can happen. Do you really believe? Do you really want to turn away from pleasing yourself? You understand what that means. You want to believe in God? You understand how to repent, to change your mind. I'm not going to please myself. I want to please God. If that's in your heart, you don't want to please yourself anymore. It's not saying that you will never stumble into pleasing yourself anymore. But I don't want to please myself anymore. I want to please God. That's a repentant heart. Repent and believe, right? Sorry, repent and be baptized, right? That's what it says. And then after that, he says, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, right? That comes after, but repentance and then baptism comes before teaching all these other commandments. If you look at the order. And so I'm putting forth this idea that baptism is really like the beginning, right? If you look at that eunuch, it was a couple hours after he heard the good news. He saw water. He wanted to get baptized. And that is how it ought to be. Baptism is like the beginning. It's like you're telling people, man, I actually believe that I was crucified with Christ. I heard the good news. Jesus died for me. I believe. Right? And so now you're going to express that by this outward demonstration to those around you. Hey, you know what? I believe that I'm not the same person anymore because I was crucified with Christ. I don't have to be the same. Really simply put, I don't have to live the same way any longer because Jesus died for me. He forgave me. He can help me. Right? I believe that his blood washes and cleanses me. Right? This is foundational. Right? All of our commandments, all these other things, they come after. We don't have to have all that understanding to be baptized. And so I'm putting forth that if we believe and we've repented, we should be baptized. Last one I'm going to leave with here is Acts 5 as another example. Sorry, Acts 16. As another example, here we see. And this is when Paul and Silas were in jail. I'm going to start in verse 25. 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why? Why would he do that? Because he knew he was going to be put to death probably for not doing his job faithfully and letting all the prisoners out. He was sleeping on the job. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and all your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Isn't that interesting? Here they were. Paul and Silas were saying, you got to believe, right? This is how you're going to be saved, right? They spoke the word of the Lord to him. It must have included something to do with baptism, right? Because that's what he did. Immediately, he and all his family were baptized. And so I want to put that forth, whether it be for those here or even those hearing online. If we are like, man, I want to serve Jesus. I've repented from what I know. I want to serve him. I want to please him each morning when I get up. I've had this change of mind toward God, and you've not been baptized. I would suggest you ought to do so because scripture backs it up. This is what Jesus, I think, wants us to do. And so I'm going to leave it there for this morning.